This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I am joined by Jason.
Hello there.
Hello. It is your first intimate podcast with me.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'll be gentle.
It's very cozy in here too, I might say. It's a bit too intimate.
It is cozy in here. This week we want to talk about the idea of slurs within video games, or hate speech, or just kind of general toxicity within video games, and how a developer should handle that. This is based off very recent findings that the Rainbow Six Siege developers are just insta-banning people who use certain words. So typically in a game you might have like certain words censored, but if you say those words in this game you'll just get banned. It starts off quite lightly. It might be like a 20-minute ban. If you come back in and do it again, you'll be banned for 2 hours. You come back and do it again, and they'll actually start investigating you and give you a proper sentence, like based on how bad you are.
Or just a permaban, which is also
which
fun.
Is what will eventually happen, I guess, if you don't eventually learn your lesson. Now, it's an interesting story because Rainbow Six Siege, for those unaware, is one of the most played games at the moment. It's really quite up there. Like, it might not have reached Fortnite levels, but it's definitely one of the most played games on PC.
It's definitely had a resurgence recently too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the game wasn't particularly popular when it first released, but the development team kept working on it, and it's really become quite a fantastic game to play. But unfortunately, online communities harbor a lot of toxicity, especially between competitive games. And people often vent their frustrations in really, really negative ways. So for this development team to take such a harsh stance, potentially a good thing, right?
I think it's sort of, it sits on the fence of whether it's a good or bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because, like, there is the debate of free speech, which obviously is not a topic we're going to get into, but what do you consider a bad word or a slur that's worthy of a ban or losing something you've paid good money for, potentially hundreds and hundreds of dollars if you've invested in the in-game economy?
So I think that's part of it, right? Like, there is grey areas because there's some obvious words that come to my mind.
Definitely.
Where I'm like, well, that just, I don't care about context. That just seems inappropriate. Like,
well, the article that you've pointed us to here, obviously I'm not going to repeat what they've said, but that's, even in context, that's not something you generally should be saying.
So somebody actually tweeted at the Rainbow Six Twitter page saying, like, fuck you guys, you banned me for saying
this word,
and I'm not going to repeat it, but you banned me for saying this, and they tweeted him back saying, good. And a lot of people celebrated that, and it's like, yeah, well, don't say that. Like, do you know how damaging certain words can be to certain people? Like, please do not do that. And it makes sense. If you want people to come into your game and continue to play your game, then you need to have a certain environment that feels welcoming and feels fun. Games are supposed to be fun. If you're entering into a game and you feel like you're being attacked, that's the opposite of fun.
And then you exit the game and then you never come back.
And so it's unfortunate, but a lot of the times it's a very small group of people who are kind of maybe not completely ruining, but definitely damaging the experience for the vast majority. Have you ever been in this kind of situation? Do you play many online competitive games?
I generally avoid them, typically for this kind of reason. Like,
well, there you go.
If I'm playing something like Fortnite, I instantly mute the chat. That's what I do, because I can't stand the way people talk. And like, even if it is, it's a really good tool to meet up with your teammates and form strategies, but people just make it awful to want to play these games with people.
Mm.
And of course, there's the typical Call of Duty Xbox player, 12-year-old, who's obviously slept with my mother. And it's just, that gets old so quickly. Like, okay, it's not funny, and you're not funny, and it's obviously not insulting. You don't even know who I am. How could you possibly slept with my mother? I mean, it's just, it's not reasonable. But, like, what's the point? You're not going to get under my nerves saying that. I'm just going to mute you, which one thing I will actually say about this is one thing that everyone or every game should have that has any kind of multiplayer chat should be a mute feature.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that is one of the best ways to deal with this kind of toxicity. If you see someone being an idiot, you just block them.
And that goes for both, I think, voice chat and typing within a game, which happens as well. I'm a PC player.
Yep.
I will, like, League of Legends, for instance, doesn't even have general voice chat because they're just too scared. And I get it, that game's quite toxic. People who play that game get real mad at each other. And I've seen that written out. And I'm like, yeah, I know why you don't have, you know, microphones projecting this to all other players, because you need to protect, especially younger people.
Yeah.
You need to protect them because they are playing your video game, and you don't want people subjected to, you know, slurs, slander, aggression, that kind of general toxicity. It's interesting. Speaking specifically about the Siege situation, the response has been quite mixed by the community. So you have some people who I think initially supported it a lot. They're like, yeah, this makes sense. Like, just don't be a dick and you won't have a problem. But then there are other people who are kind of going, well, hang on a second. Like, there's a reason that people don't get immediately banned in other games, because that has caused problems in the past. For instance, in other languages, a word might mean something completely different, or there might be a bad word hidden within quite an innocent word. Like, let's say you accidentally misspell country, all of a sudden you're instantly banned from this game. It's like, oh, I just made a mistake. Like, and banning people is such a, it's such a hard stance, right?
Yeah, that's why you can't have, like, automatic bans, I think. Like, for,
well, they're doing it.
But, well, for the Siege situation, it's not a perma-ban automatically. You get your half an hour ban, you can go, okay, look, I can see how that happened. It's really annoying. I'm going to go, you know, make myself a drink and I'll come back later and play. That's fine.
Sure, but that's still frustrating for players.
Extremely, but when you sort of weigh it up the other way, it's like, well, if the, say, 0.5% of people who are playing this game are going to make the community toxic for 25-30% of the people, even if they're a little bit caught in the crossfire, that may actually be worth it, not only for the community at large, but even for their bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even reading the response from one of that tweet, banning people for saying X word on an M-rated game, glad to see you're focusing on the real issues, and their response being, fighting against toxicity and cleaning up the Siege environment is a very real and important issue.
Absolutely.
I can definitely see where they're coming from there, because it is an online game.
And let's be honest, in the example I used earlier, that might affect 1 in 1 million people who accidentally misspell a word and say something bad, when in reality there are just so many more people who are actually properly getting banned because of it.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I went to the Rainbow Siege subreddit, and a popular tactic right now with this new implementation is to try to coax people into saying bad words on the opposite team to get them banned so that you have a winning advantage for that game. It's right now the system is being exploited to the advantage of the player. Now, whether that maintains, because obviously eventually people will learn, oh no, this is just a trick, don't fall for it kind of thing. But in the short term, yeah, there are people who are getting banned because they've been tricked by the opposing team to try to say something.
It reminds me of this this video I saw. I find it quite humorous back in the day, when I could imagine how frustrating it would be. Someone's name was Xbox Off when the Xbox One came out, and everyone had to connect, and that was the command to turn off the Xbox. It'd be like, Xbox Off, what are you doing? Oh, no.
Like, yeah, it's pretty...
it's dirty, but it's funny, but, like, this is... some people should know better, I think. It is an M-rated game. You expect everyone to act like an adult, and you shouldn't be being a douchebag for the sake of being a douchebag.
Yeah. And I think a lot of games in the past, they've gone for the we'll censor word options, right? So you'll, like, type into chat and asterisks will pop up. And I think that's an okay solution. I think it's not a perfect solution. A lot of online games will give you the option, like, that might be on by default, but they'll give you the option to turn it off. Speaking personally, I don't foresee any way for a word to affect me bad enough that I'd need asterisks in my video game. But there are people out there where, absolutely, like, your just lived experiences will have, like, culminated to a point where certain words are incredibly triggering for you. And I 100% get that. And so to protect those people, this is good. For me, seeing, like, somebody else rage to the point where they're using these slurs and stuff, I feel like I've already won.
Yeah.
Like, I'm laughing to myself saying, look at how infuriated this person or my competitor is that they've like resulted in going down this territory. So I think it's, I don't know that there's a perfect solution, because we've had people censored, we've had people immediately banned, we have systems where there'll be like a kind of tribunal where you'll like submit, you'll like report a player and you'll say this is inappropriate, and then the developer will look at it case by case and go, yes, you're right, this is inappropriate. The problem with that method is it takes time before it reaches that point, and in these gigantic video games where there might be so many people being toxic, how do you keep on top of that? Like, there's just so much.
Well, that's the other thing too, is like, it does take a lot of time, but it also takes a lot of manpower, which costs a lot of money. And
oh yeah,
like if it's affecting your bottom line to the point where you can't afford to do it, then what happens? Like, how do you draw the line between I'm losing money because I'm paying for these people to sort of moderate the community, or I'm losing money because people don't want to come into the community because it's so toxic? Like, where do you sort of do that? Do you expect people to self-censor, or to give them these options where I can say I can block this person at a button? They've said something bad, I'm going to block them forever. I don't have to ever listen to them ever again.
I think at a minimum, you have to offer players the tools to be able to censor other people. Like, that just should be...
That's baseline.
Stock standard. Yeah. That is absolute minimum. If you don't offer that, then you are subjecting your players to potentially really harmful things, especially younger or more vulnerable people. Like, you just... It's unacceptable, basically.
Definitely. That's, if you don't have the tools to help yourself, then what can you do?
Yeah. Anything further than that, it's really on the development team, and I don't know that there is a perfect solution, and that's a problem, right? Let's say this banning system, it might be a no tolerance kind of thing, and that's awesome that they're catching people, but if that system is accidentally catching people who are trying to do the right thing and getting swept up in this system, then it's definitely not perfect.
Well, you see a lot of the things with the anti-cheat systems, the same kind of thing. If it's zero tolerance and it's like, oh, well, my console wigged out and did something weird and all of a sudden I was under the map and you've banned me for it, how is that my fault? And there's no way for me to defend myself. I wasn't recording my game. You know, you just banned me outright. What happens there? I just wasted $80 on a game.
Yeah, so what it takes is, it takes real dedication and a real sophisticated system. And that's the bottom line. These development teams need super sophisticated systems where they're not getting these kind of red flags. So if you're doing the right thing, you shouldn't be triggering the automatic response where you're seen as a hacker or you're seen as somebody who's, you know, deliberately using slurs if you're not. But that takes a sophisticated system because, as you said, you know, video games can be complicated. Things can go wrong. Some things can happen because of glitches, or some things can happen because of just unforeseen events. And if that is triggering red flags and people are getting banned left, right, and center because of it, then that's a big issue. And it's happened in video games before.
Well, definitely. Like, I'm a software engineer myself, and this software is made by people, and people are not perfect.
No.
People will never be perfect, so people will never write perfect software. People will never have a perfect solution in a software-related thing. So there is no perfect solution. I don't think there ever will be. But I think what you can do is mitigate what people can and can't do, give them the tool set to make the environment what they want it to be.
Mm.
I think that, while it's not perfect, it is definitely probably the best solution you can do for any person. They can do it themselves.
Super interesting side point. Particularly big online games, they've hired psychologists to try to tackle the issue of toxicity in games, and their perspective is, well, rather than banning people or censoring, let's see if we can find a way to encourage people to be better behaved. And a lot of that has led to really weird and unique systems. So, for instance, some video games will have like a toxic queue, where if you're seen to be slanderous or aggressive or violent within the game, you're put in a queue with other people who are also seen to be those things.
Didn't Grand Theft Auto do that with hackers as well?
That would be news to me, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I think GTA 5, if you were a hacker and detected as a hacker, you'd go into games with other hackers and it'd just be literally no fun because everyone was just taking the piss.
Yeah, and which is hilarious.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What a perfect implementation. And not only like have you put people in a queue with other dirty players, You've also limited the amount of people they can connect to, and so they've probably got much longer queue times and and much less like stable and match-made games because they're all of a sudden in a much smaller queue.
Literally shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, which is a hilarious implementation, but once again, not perfect if it's like flagging people who are actually innocent.
Exactly, because then you need to have a review system, and then how do you review it? Like, what if something did go wrong on their end and it's not your fault? Like, you can't really tell the difference after the fact.
Unfortunately, like most things in life, there is no perfect implementation, no perfect system. And I think the Siege developers are going to find themselves in a position where there are red flags going off for reasons that it shouldn't, and they're going to continue to have to develop their system and continue to change it and change up the things that is getting like flagged for, I think. Definitely early on in any system's lifetime, there'll be problems.
Yeah, well, as you said, people are already sort of goading other players into saying these words, and if they get banned for, like, hey, I don't call me X word, it's like, well, you've just said it, so now you're banned.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think short term it'll be a problem, but I like that they've taken such a strong stance, because I think in the long run, it may actually be a really well-implemented system. It's just in the short term, it's going to suffer, I think.
Yeah.
But we'll have to just see where that one goes. It's interesting, because I don't know that there is a perfect solution.
Well, you have to give them props. At least they're sticking by what they want, and they've put a solution in, and they're standing by it, no matter what anyone thinks. They're going to make the game what they want it to be, and that's what I think game developers should do.
They've made a stance. They're saying, this is absolutely unacceptable, and I agree. I think a lot of those kind of real terrible slurs, they are absolutely unacceptable, and it's good to see. And I think equal parts stuff like death threats and things like that, like, unacceptable, like, under no circumstances. So,
well, you know, you are playing a game where you're out to murder the other person, so is a death threat really that bad?
As long as the threat is targeted at the character and not the person behind the controller or the keyboard. Yes. But not perfect solution, but we'll see where that one unfolds. Jason, thank you so much for joining me.
No, thank you very much for having me.
You guys have been listening to the Checkpoint Intimates. Make sure you tune in back next week for another intimate topic.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.